Your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, why are you running and who are you running from? Why are you running and who are you running from? Elijah, through the Spirit of God in him, was able to pull off a couple of the biggest miracles in his lifetime. One, he challenged the armies of the Jews to come against him, and the challenge was to call him to the God of Baal, and he would call unto the God of Israel. To call unto the God of Baal to rain down fire and consume the altar with a sacrifice upon it. And really, Elijah had fun with it. He kind of had sport, some of the commentaries called it, in that he would kind of abuse them a little bit. And said, what's the matter? Where's your Baal at? Where's your God of Baal? What's he doing? Is he out of town? Maybe he's on a holiday weekend. Maybe he's just getting him a nap, you know? But when it got Elijah's turn and he called out to God, he compounded everything that the God of Baal was to triumph over. They dug a ditch around, they filled it full of water, soaked the altar, done the sacrifices, done all these things. And whenever Elijah cried out to God, God rained down fire and consumed that altar and all the things that was taking place therein. And so Elijah calls in the prophets, 450 of them, and he has them put to death. When old Jezebel, that wicked thing that she was, heard that all of her prophets was dead and heard how the God of Baal had been put to shame and all these things, she sent a messenger through Ahab, and here's what she said for her. Verse 1 of chapter 19, it says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. Here's what Jezebel told him. Let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. You got 24 hours to live, she told him. I put these on, I might can see a little better. And so after all that God's done for her, Jezebel sends a message to him and tells him that within the next 24 hours, she's going to see to it that he's put to death. What did Elijah do about that? Verse 3 says, when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it's enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I cannot imagine in my mind how someone so quickly could be turned from knowing the God of blessings that had blessed him and taking the lives of those prophets and raining down the fire from heaven that came down and consumed the altars and stuff. And just because an old wicked lady by the name of Jezebel sent him a message and told him that I'm going to see to it that you be put to death in the next 24 hours, that he would run for his life. It looks like to me he would just turn to that same God that rained down the fire from heaven, turn to that same God that allowed him to take those lives and stuff, take to that same one that, because he saw a little hand way off out there, brought the rain that they hadn't had for 3.5 years. And let a little lady by the name of Jezebel, Scripture didn't call her a lady, called her a wicked woman, threaten him, and he runs for his life. And he gets to Beersheba there. He left his servants there. But he himself, the Scripture says, went a day's journey into the wilderness. He went in into a place of hiding there, sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Here's what he said, his reason for wanting to die. He had a real pity party. He said here that it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. He said, I'm no better than all the previous ones that have gone before me. Now, if you look, and tonight we'll do that in our Bible study as we're running through the books of the New Testament. But in the New Testament and several of the Gospels, you hear reference in there where God says that, well, let's take just like at the Transfiguration. He took with him Peter, James, and John, didn't he? To his transfiguration. And after he was changed and his face was enlightened and all the things that happened to him and stuff, that some folks come out of the grave. You remember who they was? Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. But yet here's that same Elijah on a pity party running for his life, saying to God, I've had enough. I can't take any more. Take my life. He thought the easy way out would be to take his life. I was riding down the road in my truck this week, and I was listening to the radio station at Richton up there, the Christian radio station. They gave the news, and they broke in and they said that there had been a shooting at Forest General Hospital. They went on to explain that a man came into the hospital, went into his wife's room, and killed her, then turned the gun on himself and killed himself. You know, looking for an easy way out of whatever might have been going on in the life of his family and stuff. He requested for himself. He wasn't asking for, he just wanted for himself, he said, that he might die. Because it was enough. And as he lay and he slept under that juniper tree, I like this now, he's sitting there and he dozes off to sleep and God pays him a visit. Listen what happens here. And as he lay and he slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. Oh, he said here, said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and lay back down, went to sleep again. Went to sleep again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. See, The message God had for Elijah was, the trip that I'm about to send you on is a 200-mile journey. It's going to take you 40 days and nights to get there. And you're going to need all the strength and all the energy you can muster. Arise and eat and drink, and the journey's going to be great. So he arose, verse 8 said, and did eat and drink. And he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Horeb, as you and I know it, is Mount Sinai. What happened at Mount Sinai? That's where Moses went up into the mountain there, met with the Lord, got the commandments, brought them back down. How long was he up there? 40 days and nights. God was using Moses then. God's using Elijah here. God wants to use you and I to do the things he wants us to do. And I cannot be but convinced within myself, if we're not careful, we find ourselves running away from God instead of running to God and doing what he wants us to do in our hearts and our lives. And it makes me wonder why we're running and who we're running from. Listen what he says here in verse 9. He came thither unto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left. And they seek my life to take it. All this has been taking place. He said, I'm the only one that's been doing anything. He kind of hung up on himself, wasn't he? Made it easier for me to understand why he had that pity party. Why he felt within himself, you know, that he needed to run. And he needed to get away from this wicked Jezebel. Because he thought he was the only one that was doing anything. And he said, I'm the only one left. And they seek my life to kill me. Verse 11 said, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. God didn't say, well, look, Elijah, I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, there's times when I feel like, he didn't give you no explanation or nothing. He just gave you an order. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. He's going to make himself real known to Elijah. Because what he's got for Elijah is going to reach to me and you today here in our worship service of him. What he tells him to do. Listen what he said. The Lord passed by. There was a great and strong wind that rent the mountains. And he brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, listen to this, a still small voice. Still small voice. And it was so that when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, Elijah, what doest thou here? What are you in this cave hiding for? Why are you on the run? Why have you been moving from Beersheba to this place to that place, and now you're here? I told you to go to Mount Carmel. I told you to get there on the side of of the mountain there and wait on me. I've made my presence known to you. You know, I wasn't in the earthquake. I wasn't in the fire. I wasn't in the wind. Just that still, small voice speaking to us. What woos us? What draws us? The Lord asked him a question. What doest thou here? What would you tell the Lord? If he were to whisper to you and say, call your name, like he did Elijah. He wanted it to be specific that he's talking absolutely to him. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of Israel, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down their altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And here he goes again. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. He's hung up on that excuse that he's got, isn't he? He's all consumed about what he feels like is an injustice to him. I've been very jealous for the Lord. Some of us can relate to that. We are all sold out to the Lord's work and what he would have for us to do in our hearts and our lives. Sometimes we look around and we say within ourselves, well, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Where's everybody else at? Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. He's pointing out their weaknesses. They have forsaken the covenant. What was the covenant? God made the covenant with the children of Israel. What did he tell them? If you will be unto me a son or a daughter, I'll be unto you what? A God. They have forsaken your covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they trying to kill me. The Lord said unto him, go thy way and return to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shall thou appoint to be prophets in thy room. And it shall come to pass, that means it's going to happen. It hadn't happened yet, but it's going to. It shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha say. But he said, listen to me, Elijah. Verse 18. Yet I have left for me 7,000 souls. 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed unto Baal and their mouths have not kissed him. What did he say twice, Elijah say? I, even I, am the only one. I, even I, am the only one. When in reality, what was it? 7,000 others out there. What could be said about this and their dealings? You remember how one of the prophets of God took 100 of the prophets, put 50 in this pile and 50 in this pile over here, furnished bread and water for them and kept them hid from Ahab and all the evil that was taking place there? Spared this. Elijah, he had a lot to be thankful for. You know, God just looks over all everything he's using as an excuse, everything he's doing there, and he says, oh, that's water on the bridge. Let that go. Forget about that. Don't let it hinder your ministry. Here's what I want you to do. And he gives him some names of some specific people. The one that he wants to replace Elijah is Elisha. I get them mixed up a lot of times. I'll say Elisha for Elijah and Elijah for Elisha and stuff. I have to be careful in there with them. But he tells him he wants him to go and find Elisha and anoint him to his service. He said here that him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. He's got to come in his place of authority here and start killing people. All those that were against him. And he says he thinks he's the only one, but I've got to tell you. Now let's see what Elisha does. He has been anointed and of God. You know what he's doing when Elijah goes to hunt him? He's plowing his fields. He's out there doing his everyday work, just like me and you. Going about the business of taking care of his home and his family and his farm and stuff. And as he's working towards this, evidently he's a very prosperous farmer. He's doing well in it. And verse 19 said, he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen. Pretty big farmer, wasn't he? He like us saying, he had one of them big John Deere tractors out there. And he, with the 12th, he was plowing the 12th team of oxen himself. And Elijah passed by him and just cast his mantle on him. And in the day and time that they're talking about there, that was a sign of the calling of something special on the life of that individual. Just by casting his mantle on him, let's see what Elijah does. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Tell him bye, and say yes to what God wanted. I like what happens here. Close this out with me. He returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, that 12th yoke that he was plowing with. The scripture says he slew them or killed them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. He threw a farewell party to all of his family and all of his employees and stuff with the 12th team of oxen there. And the scripture says, then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. And he took the yoke that he used to do this to guide the oxen with and used it to boil the flesh to feed the people. You know what he did when he killed his oxen? Burned his yokes and stuff. He didn't have any intention of coming back, did he? What was he going to do? He's going to follow the Lord. The other places it talks to us about putting our hands to the plow and looking back, not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, and that it's not saying we won't get into heaven, but it's saying that we're disappointing God. When, how did he try them? What did he do to get their attention? A little bit of everything. Elijah said, instead of obeying, he decided he'd do what? Rebel. And he run, didn't he? Trying to get away. And worried about what old Jezebel was going to do to him and his heart and his life. And I just wonder myself, a God that would be so obedient to rain down fire and consume that altar and that flesh that was on that altar, suck up all that water and do everything that he did for Elijah. Why he would get so far away. I come to this conclusion. This will Larry have her thinking, so I won't charge you for that. But it's very simple. Whenever he was doing this, there were some things that God said for him to do that he just didn't want to do. Just didn't want to do. Sometimes God may tell you and I need you to go. What did he tell Elijah? Go tell these three fellers, I got places of authority. I need them to come and fill those key places, you know. I don't know about that. If you want me to go tell Ahab to tell you, you're getting in dangerous ground there now. He'll kill me just sure as he sees me. What'd God say? I'm in control. I was that wind. I was that rain. I was that whatever he used in whatever position he used them in. All he wanted them to do was to do what? Be obedient. Be obedient. Do what he said for them to do in their hearts. Why are you running? What are you running from? That was a question over and over and over again. The Lord kept having to deal with Elijah about. Elijah, where are you at? I'm down here under a juniper tree. Why? I'm praying. What are you praying for? The Lord let me die. Don't you know the Lord really proud to hear that prayer? You know? But every day, what's going on in the lives and minds of a lot of people? Just like that husband. I'm sure his love for his wife and his wife for him probably caused him to, rather than see her have to suffer any longer than what she is doing, to put an end to it. But who made him God? You know? We got to answer to God for those things in our hearts and our lives. And when we refuse to obey and not do the Lord's will, what happens? Who suffers? We do, don't we? Elijah, where you at? Well, I'm down here in the mouth of this cave down here, hiding. Ahab, Jezebel, them armies are there. They coming. They're going to kill me. What did the Lord tell you? Arise, get up, and go. You know, I remember as a child growing up in Shady Grove Church, I loved him with all my heart. Brother Smith, Nally Smith, was our pastor for years. But he had a saying. The saying was, God didn't save you to sit down and sit. God saved you to get up and get busy telling other people about Jesus Christ. That's always stuck with me all these years. That God didn't save me to sit down and sit. He saved me to get up. He didn't save Elijah to go hide in a cave. He didn't save Elijah to reject him and not do what he would have him to do. Didn't save him to tell him, I'm the only one. If everybody else would do their part, boy, we could really get something done, you know. We think more of ourselves than we ought to sometimes, you know. But you know what really matters? The only thing that matters is what God says for us to do. In our heart. You're looking at an expert at running. I run for a long time before I surrendered to preach. Trying to prove to God that I wasn't worthy. But I couldn't out-talk God. He kept on and on and on, because before I was ever conceived in my mom's womb, he had plans that old Larry was going to be a preacher. And he was going to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. He didn't let me see all the things that was to be out there, all the unknowns. But he gave me this promise: I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never call on you to do anything I don't equip you or empower you to do. Just trust me. Just trust me. Man, I can stand here and give you story after story after story how he fulfilled his promise. And I hope I've somewhat fulfilled mine. Would you pray with me? A few minutes, Brother Ernie's going to Lead us in our time of invitation. As he prepares and gets ready to do for that, I wonder, have you been on a run? Is there something bothering you that perhaps you think running's the answer? I can only say running's the answer if you're running to God and not from God. But God loves you. He's equipped you and empowered you to do what he wants you to do. If you'll obey him, you'll be what he wants you to be in your heart and your life. If you're running to him, great. But if you're running from him, you're miserable. You're miserable. It wasn't until old Elijah got it all together. And he heard the voice of God very plainly. Say, Elijah. And he said yes to God. God whispers your name. When he whispers his desire for your life. Are you listening? God, speak to our hearts this morning. Show us our needs, Lord, and give us the courage to do what you would call us to do. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Ernie, what are we going to sing?
309. Lord, I'm coming home.
309.